Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. In 1882, an Ohio dentist named John Ballou penned the book The Oashbi, a true channeled book. The book has a biblical tone, done on purpose so that the locals in the Bible Belt would be encouraged to read it. But there the semblance drops. I quote from the cover page, "Oashbi, a new Bible in the world of Jehovah and his angel ambassadors. A sacred history of the dominions of the higher and lower heavens on earth for the past 24,000 years. Together with a synopsis on the cosmology of the universe, the creation of planets, the creation of man, the unseen worlds, the labor and glory of gods and goddesses in the ethereal heavens." End of the quote. The book covers reincarnation, the interaction of aliens with humans and human cultures, and why the U.S. government was assisted to become a democracy in the past. The Oashbi confirms pole shift history, calling Planet X the Red Star, and details the pole shift that sunk Atlantis, and describes why Atlantis was doomed, and portends the coming pole shift. The aftertime with its many orphans is described, along with the polarization of the good-hearted from the selfish into different camps. The Oashbi is not easy to read due to its style, but its meaning is clear enough. Let's start with a description of the planet of the crossing, Nibiru, also known as Planet X or Marduk or Wormwood, and in Sitchin's books as the 12th planet. The Oashbi calls it the Red Star. Per the Zetas, the sling orbit of Planet X has been in place from the start, coming out of the Big Bang. And I quote from Zeta Talk, written July 1995. Planet X assumed its orbit around the Sun due to gravitational and motion issues, which were at play coming out of what some Earthlings refer to as the Big Bang. This was in fact only a little bang, a local affair, however. The orbit of Planet X is long and narrow. Planet X travels interminably between two suns, not able to settle into an orbit around just one because of the momentum and path it originally took. It is caught. The path of Planet X is such that it spends most of its life out in dark space, slowly moving from one giant tug to another. As it approaches one of these giants, your sun being one, it picks up speed and reaches a maximum speed as it passes the attraction. Having passed, it now has double the gravitational attraction on one side and quickly switches back in the other direction, zooming just as rapidly, much along the path it just took. Out in open space again, caught between the two giants that dominate its life, it settles down to a sedate few thousand years, only to zip around the sun's counterpart in a like manner and head back towards your solar system. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And what did an Ohio dentist in 1882 describe? A traveling world, not one that goes round and round in an orbit. A world surrounded by moons and a dust cloud. A world that is magnetic, clashing against other worlds, creating pole shifts. And I quote from the Book of Alph. "I, Alph, son of God, trained in the change and tumult of corporal worlds, proclaim my decrees of the Red Star in her heavens in the clash of her rebellious sides. For I will harvest. A wave of breath speedeth forth in the broad firmament. The Red Star flieth toward the point of my weighted sword. Fly with all speed where first the Red Star's vortex gathered up its nebulae millions of years agone, and on the way say, God has decreed a pruning knife to a traveling world. Tell them I have spoken, and the earth and her heavens nears the trough. I will scoop her up as a toy, and her vortex shall close about like a hungry serpent for its prey. Hear me, O ye who have witnessed the creation of many worlds and their going out. Countless millions will fall into my net. The central tones of music from goddesses older than the corporeal worlds, to them the clash of worlds is as a note created. End of the quote from the Oashbi. What have the Zetas said about Atlantis and its association with the pole shift of the past? And I quote from Zeta Talk, Atlantis, written August 1995. The stories about Atlantis, which has never been found, are supported by myths of great cities destroyed suddenly by rising water. Well, of course, that happens extensively all over the world every time there's a pole shift. There were lands that sunk under the sea in the Atlantic. Many cities in and around the European continent went under the waves during the past few pole shifts. This is because the Atlantic, as a widening ocean, tends to drag down the shorelines and outlying islands during each shift. Atlantis was not a human society, but a society composed, dominated, by the advanced giant hominoids from Planet X. They used crystals for communications, had rocket power. These visitors did not disappear because they went under the waves. They disappeared because they were put into quarantine. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The quarantined mention was decreed by the Council of Worlds because the giant hominoids from Planet X had enslaved mankind, creating a dark climate unsuitable for spiritual growth. So what did an Ohio dentist in 1882 describe? Land that was deliberately sunk under the passage of the Red Star because the inhabitants, described as spirits of darkness, had outworn their welcome. And I quote from the Book of Elf, "And now comes Neph, his ship rose up, filled with his long-laboring hosts. And I greeted him and said unto him, By power and wisdom of God, the continent of Atlantis is to be cut loose and submerged, and her heavens carried away. Return thou to earth and bring all the spirits of darkness from all the divisions of earth and heaven to Atlantis, that I may carry them away. Quickly now the ships of fire formed in line, extending from my place down to earth, and I divided the line into sections, each with 250 ships, and there were 1,000 sections. And every ship was contracted 10,000-fold, which was the force required to break the crust of the earth and sink a continent. And the vortex of the earth closed in from the extreme, and lo, the earth was broken. A mighty continent was cut loose from its fastenings, and the fires of the earth came forth in flames, and loud roaring. And the land rocked to and fro like a ship at sea. And again the vortex of the earth closed in about on all sides, and by the pressure the land sunk down beneath the water to rise no more, and the Corpians went down to death." End of the quote from the Oashbi. The Zetas have described the pole shift during the passage of Planet X as being driven by magnetism, as Planet X is a magnetic planet with 23 times the mass of Earth, the bully magnet. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Weakest Link, written in 2001 during the Psi-Astro debates. "Place two magnets end to end, and they are happy to line up. Place two magnets side by side, and they both try to move so that they line up. Make one of these magnets several times the size of the other, and the larger dominates in this motion. Thus the Earth moves in place in its orbit, at the point where the passage itself occurs, the north pole of this passing planet no longer approaching the south pole of the Earth, but passing it, thus dragging this south pole along with its north pole during the passage." End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Oashbi refers to a magnetic field as a vortex, the magnetic field of Planet X overwhelming that of Earth, and thus forcing a pole shift. In addition to describing Planet X as a traveling world on a sling orbit, and wrapping its vortex around the Earth, but also with writhing moon swirls described by those on Earth during a passage like a dragon in the sky. And I quote from the Oashbi, the Book of S. "Come, O ye gods and goddesses, come with me down to the Red Star, as the earth is near the ark. And they looked across the firmament, far off, to see the slow-rolling earth where mortals still groped in darkness, whose people could not read the unseen heavens. Here they deliberated, some to wonder how it was that the earth, in all the time of her being, had only sent a few 100,000 million angels into the heavens. Others surmised the lowness of her grades. Then spake Ativia. She said, "Oh, I remember the earth. Her side was crushed, and the form of her land changed by Alf 24,000 years ago. Oh, it's a glorious world. I will be one, a volunteer to go fifth." Then upward, outward, rose the ship of fire, heading for the far-off red star that coursed in the serpent's coil 1.5 miles a day. The earth, seen by the magnifying instruments of the gods, seen in its little orbit around the sun of 500,000 million miles. End of the quote from the Owashbi. The Owashbi describes guidance where the earth's genetically engineered hominoids, the races of man, would eventually encounter each other. The Zetas mention this also in describing the races of man, where Chinaman was specifically introduced as a balance. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Races of Man, written July 1995. Chinaman was developed to offset the ruthlessness of the inhabitants of Planet X, who interbred with humans during their mining operations. The Oriental is slight and given to ponder and consider the feelings of many before proceeding. It was foreseen that Earth's humanity would grow and eventually blend as it has, so the ultimate Earthling was the target, and Chinaman was engineered accordingly. The hominoid stock used to build Chinaman was from those least likely to be impulsive, where deliberation brought rewards, and thus had been selected for survival during evolution. In addition, a different ape was chosen as the base, one with a placid nature, where the apes selected for the other races did not have this quality at the fore. These qualities can be seen today in the descendants of Chinaman, who consult with one another, proceed only when there is consensus, and succeed best at those endeavors that require group dedication. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. If the Zetas state that Earth's humanity would eventually blend, how did an Ohio dentist describe this process in 1882? The Owashbi calls this process of discovery, of global travel, the Cosman Era. And I quote from the Owashbi, the Book of Es. "So, God sent down angels in his command to inspire migration to America and to make the country known to the eastern peoples. And it came to pass that Columbo, thus inspired of God through his holy angels, did discover the western continent, not knowing he was under inspiration. In the early days, behold, I kept man on certain continents and places, that I might unfold him in the glory for which I designated him. But in Cosman, I opened the gates of the oceans and the seas and the rivers, and I say unto all my people, Come forth, behold your brethren, go ye into this country, into that, and learn wisdom from that which I have provided. Be ye profitable unto one another in the experience and practice of my hand upon all peoples. For in Cosman man shall go abroad into all countries, one nation with another, and they shall profit by wisdom to bring forth a new race with all the glories selected from the whole. And the idolaters of the false Christi did fall upon the Chinaans and force the opium trade, and did also make many of them a drunken and worthless people. And this also came to pass, did they fall upon the Algonquins, and caused 3 million of them to be put to death, men, women, and children." End of the quote from the Owashbi. The Zetas have described the U.S. as being the flagship of democracy over the past couple hundred years, and thus the country chosen for the contact resulting in Roswell and the formation of MJ-12, the secret government. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Only the U.S., written October 1995. "The reason we desired an alliance with the U.S. government was due to their position of leadership in the world, a position they still hold. The U.S. is the signal democracy, which was assisted in its birth by many aliens in the service to others responding to the call, and has more than met the expectations of those who assisted. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And how did an Ohio dentist describe this in 1882? The spirits of those who had died during the Inquisitions assisted out of rage for religious intolerance, out of rage for such acts done in the name of Christ and the rights of kings. And I quote from the Oashbi, the Book of Es. There came before the throne of God a host of 7,000 angels who had been victims of the Inquisition under the inspiration of a false Christ. They said, "We have such strength as a mad wolf might be proud of. Therefore, use us. We have not such mercy and forgiveness as becometh God's. Therefore, give us rough work to do. Not that we desire to glut ourselves in vengeance against the false Christ. As such a matter, if an innocent lamb were pursued by a wolf, give us to rush in and save the lamb. Now behold, the rumor has come to us that thou wilt establish America free from the dominion of gods and saviors. And it cometh to this, we are so far on the road to purification that we can no longer catch the false Christ's angels and hurl them into hell. Nevertheless, we are not so fastidiously pure, but we would seize his evil-working angels and hold them by the throats till thou hadst the great country founded safely for God's kingdom. God said unto them, I welcome you. What ye can do, ye shall do. Nor shall any but yourselves judge yourselves. Behold, they will surely inspire a war both in America with mortals and in the heavens thereof with the angels. But my angel hosts shall inspire the mortals of America to found a government free from the dominion of gods and saviors." End of the quote from Oashbi. The Oashbi goes on to describe that the writings of the Constitution was inspired, and those who fought for independence and penned the Constitution were under protection. And I quote again from the Book of Es. "Chief of those men raised up by God to establish the foundation of God's kingdom with mortals were the following, to wit, Paine, Jefferson, Adams, Franklin, Carroll, Hancock, and Washington. These then were the doctrines of Paine, to wit, that all the world is my country, and the same right alike to all men. To do good with all of one's wisdom and strength is the highest religion. That this is an age of reason, in which all men should be inspired to read and think. The false Christ perceived the design of God and sent down to earth, to America, angel warriors to overthrow Paine's doctrines and to precipitate the colonies into war against the home governments in Western Europe. Now assigned the army of the Inquisition, the 7,000 angels, to be the protecting hosts. Beside these angels, who were generals and captains of the hosts, there were the non-commissioned angel officers, 2,784, who had also been martyred as to earth life by scouring and by the rack and by being pulled in quarters and by being burnt, who were distributed amongst the mortal armies of soldiers. Such then were the inspiring hosts who remained with the soldiers of the Republic during the war, day and night, inspiring them to fortitude and manipulating them to give them health and strength and endurance. For 7 years the war lasted, and during all the while the earthly commander, Washington, was under the guardianship of the commander of the angel hosts. And there were detailed to guard Washington day and night 1,000 angels. And though he was shot at, and in many ways sought for to be destroyed, these angels saved him, even catching in their hands the bullets that were fired at him. And in like manner were many other mortal leaders and privates in the war, protected and saved from harm by the angels. And yet all this while the angels fought on the other side, endeavoring to pull away the guardian angels and to make the mortal leaders vulnerable. But these angels were lower in grade and less potent, and withal not so enthusiastic, for they had not suffered martyrdom. And God said, Rather let a man glory in martyrdom for righteousness' sake, for herein he taketh high resolve against evil, which resolves are a greater power to the soul when it entereth heaven. And it came to pass that the Republic was established. End of the quote from the OWASPI. The Zetas state that reincarnation exists, and approximately 1,000 lifetimes are required to reach a solid decision on spiritual orientation, to be empathetic or self-focused. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Many Incarnations, written January 2003. Humans tend to underestimate the number of incarnations they will have before advancing to light form, the stage where a body is no longer a learning tool. They explore their past lives, digging about with a past life regression therapist, and remember only those that are pleasant or put their actions in a good light. The horrific times, or times when they behaved so badly they preferred not to dwell on the matter, are not brought forward. Incarnations run into the thousands in the main before a graduation to the next spiritual level is achieved. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And the OWASPI states in the Book of Judgment, Thy young spirit must remain within the atmosphere of the animal creation for a long season. Like unto like hast thou fashioned thy spirit to the flesh of thy body. Consider thy corporal body as a ship in which thy spirit is sailing across a wide sea of water. After death it flieth in the direction thou hast shaped it. End of the quote from the OWASPI. Zeta Talk describes the development of the soul as sparking, taking on the stuff of souls to increase in mass, stating that infant spirits are often so poorly formed that they abort after the death of the first incarnation, and describing that the spirits elected to head the council of the worlds are wise and massive. The OWASPI likewise describes several levels of spiritual development and roles that sound like what the Zetas describe for spirit or birthing guides. And I quote from the OWASPI, the glossary. Esyan, a newborn spirit when a mortal dies and his spirit departs into heaven. It is called an Esyan, an infant spirit. Chaotix, deranged angels, such as are killed in war or in anger. Asels, angels in heaven whose office it is to receive the spirit when a mortal dies and bear it to the place prepared for it. Their rank is next below Ashars. Ashars, guardian angels who are appointed over mortals to be with them during life. They deliver the spirit in time of death into the hands of the Ashals. They also keep the record of the mortal, which is also given to the Ashals in heaven, along with the newborn spirit, which is called the Eshyan, for a certain season. Ashars are next in rank to Luz. Luz, angels who provide the prenatal condition for such mortal births as are designed for special work by the gods or lords. Devas, bad angels, spirits that deceive and tempt, a prince of liars. End of the quote from the OWASPI glossary. The Zetas have stated that ghosts do indeed exist, are restless spirits whom the birthing guides allow to linger as they have unresolved issues, thus not yet ready for another incarnation. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Ghosts, written July 1995. All humans have visits from those they knew in the past, now dead. These spirits, who are primarily disincarnate, but can come from their next incarnation in and out of body, are trying to settle things they feel were left outstanding. These matters can be as simple as an apology they wish to express to you, or a bit of information they felt you needed, intended to be told to you when you next met. Death interrupts the plans. The ghosts are such disincarnate entities. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. But per the OWASPI, if the spirit guides are not attentive, things can get out of hand. And I quote from the Book of Alph. Many angels assumed they were the All Highest. They put aside the commandments, one of which was to suffer not the spirits of the newly dead to return and dwell with their mortal kindred. And it came to pass that when one commandment was set aside, the others were also, and it followed that the spirits of the newly dead, who were without knowledge of heaven, led mortals in their own way. For they dwelt together and slept together, and for desires of the flesh they found acquiescence in spirit. And as one spirit returned and fastened itself upon a mortal, so did another and another, till hundreds and thousands of spirits dwelt in one corporal body, oft driving hence the natural spirit I gave in the time of conception. And these mortals knew it not, and they became void of direct purpose because of the confusion of soul. End of the quote from the Awashbi. This sounds like something the Zetas call a crowded incarnation. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Crowded Incarnations, written April 1997. On worlds where incarnations are beginning to repeat, where souls have sparked due to incarnating into intelligent species and are reincarnating again and again, crowded incarnations seldom happen as there is a plentitude of bodies for the souls to incarnate into. However, in a situation such as the Earth is due to experience, where the majority of bodies will die suddenly, leaving the formerly incarnated souls without opportunities, chaos can and does ensue. Crowded incarnations are very temporary. For instance, during the forthcoming pole shift, this potential may exist for several months. The normal procedure where immature souls are gathered upon death of their body and amused or otherwise occupied until their next incarnation can be arranged is difficult due to the numbers. So at times these souls roam about and try to arrange their own incarnations. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Zetas have described possession or walk-ins, where the original incarnating spirit leaves and another takes over. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Walk-In, written July 1995. A walk-in is where a naturally evolved Earth soul vacates its human body and then a soul from another world enters, incarnating. When a walk-in takes place, it's not because the soul has left temporarily, but like death, has left permanently. This occurs when the soul essentially wishes to commit suicide and would do so if the walk-ins were not allowed. The spirit guides are aware of this, conferences take place, and all is agreed. Since this changes the nature of the incarnation agreement, it's like an amended incarnation agreement. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And what did an Ohio dentist say in 1882? And I quote from the Awashbi, the Book of Judgment. But this shall happen unto many, learning to speak by entrancement or by inspiration. They shall imagine themselves controlled by certain angels, when in fact it is only their own spirit, eliminated from the corporal senses. Others, being influenced, shall imagine it is themselves and not an angel, whereas it is an angel speaking through them. To them that have not experienced elimination of the spirit self from the corporal self, all speech is believed to be of the corporal senses only, or of a diseased condition. For many such, even after death, will not admit they are dead because of the darkness upon them. Let no man say that only seers and prophets and such persons as work signs and miracles are under the influence of spirits, for even as much as these, so are other mortals under the dominion of spirits. Yea, the infidel, the disbeliever, the philosopher, the lawyer, the judge, the preacher, the fanatic, and all others are more controlled by the spirits of the dead than by their own personal spirit. End of the quote from the Awashbi. The Zetas describe alien-human interaction as being under the control of humans who give the call for counseling. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Awaiting the Call, written February 1996. We have stated that aliens are restrained from interfering with the free will of humans and must await the call and can only affect human affairs through human actions at this time. Do aliens just watch and wait in agony? Where the call is being given almost continuously, and where the Earth is virtually swarming with alien visitors at this time, there is neither an excess of calls awaiting an answer or an excess of visitors awaiting the call, a good balance. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. So what does an Ohio dentist state in 1882 about contactees? The ability of the visitors to move into another dimension, the struggle between good and evil that human souls have as young souls, that the visitors must influence humans only by counseling, which the Oashpi calls inspiration, that free will exists, and thus a human may switch from being a service to other to becoming a service to self, and out-of-body or astral travel occurs. And I quote from the Oashpi, the Book of Judgments, "And the angels shall demonstrate the subtlety of corporal things, and the capacity of one solid to pass through another solid uninjured. And my angels, by inspirations, control the marriages of certain mortals, that heirs may be born into the world suited to the work I have on hand. For many generations my angels labor to this end, raising up thousands and tens of thousands of mortal heirs according to my commandments. So, O man, my angels shaped mortal births to bring about the armies of thy God. And it came to pass that many whom I had designed for exalted work fell into the hands of those full of boasting and short-sighted wisdom, seeking the applause of the multitude. And so my angels sifted them and sorted them, in order to find such as were willing to sacrifice self for the sake of the Father's kingdom. And angels shall come to them, and many shall attain adeptism, and in spirit go out of their mortal bodies, and appear hundreds of miles away, and there make themselves known, and they shall return again to their mortal bodies, unharmed." End of the quote from the Oashpi. Zeta Talk has described the battle of good and evil as a developmental issue, where a young spirit must learn empathy and thus become service to other, or stay self-centered, remaining service to self. They describe the latter as essentially a failure to grow from the initial state, which is self-focused, like a newborn babe. Zeta Talk has stated that actions, not words, are more important when judging the spiritual orientation, and that one should look carefully at the motives and effects of actions to determine a true orientation. It's not a simple matter. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Key Characteristics, written July 1995. "There is a common misunderstanding that being service to others is all bleeding heart concern and the service to self a snarling greed. Nothing could be further from the truth. These animals come in various sizes and shapes. One must look for the key characteristics, in fact, to even identify them. The service to self are often misunderstood. As we have mentioned elsewhere, they can be charming and diplomatic. The key is the goal, not the goal stated, which may be packaged to appeal to those to be duped, but the actual goal. A reduction in pollution laws, packaged as enabling employers to stay in business, is in fact a power play by those who resent any restrictions on their powers. The unemployment rate has nothing to do with this, but is waved about as a reason. In some, the service to others individual may be gruff, distracted, disheveled, and inaccessible. But what are they working toward? How do they react when a truth test comes, where there must be a willingness to sacrifice themselves for others? Do they come through? And the service to self individual may be suave, seemingly generous, even defending others. But when their welfare is lined up against another, when they must truly share and words are asked to be replaced by actions, what then?" End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Oashpi spends a great deal of time emphasizing this, that it is actions, not words, that count, and the result of the action, showing the true intent, should be examined. And I quote from the Oashpi, the Book of Judgment, "And thou be a rich man, and adorn a city by donating unto it a park, with statuary and pleasure walks, hoping to glorify thyself thereby, and be praised by men. Therein thyself burieth thyself in the first resurrection, and the act lowereth thy grade instead of raising it. For in whatsoever thou givest, thou shalt consider first the lowest of the low, whether they have bread to eat and a place to sleep, and the sick, whether they have attendance and good provision. And thou be a rich man, and contribute a house for orphans, or for the helpless and aged who cannot help themselves, it raises thee in grade. But so far as thou doest this for the applause of men, thou distractest from the rate of thy beneficence. Neither doth such a good work help thee more than the poor man helpeth his own grade by assisting one poor orphan. For thy resurrection dependeth not on the quantity thou givest, but as to whether thou givest according to what thou hast. A certain rich man, being converted from the desires of earth, went about casting his money freely in the streets, and in giving to whosoever asked him thereof. And some gathered it up, and fed and clothed themselves. Others took of it, and went and got drunk, and became worse than before. The measure of righteousness of that man's behavior was not in giving what he had to the poor, but in the good and evil that came of it, being weighed as to which outbalanced the other. A certain rich man, being converted to do good work, went and built a score of soup houses to feed the poor gratuitously, and all the poor people of that town went therein and were fed. But the next year, behold, there were twice as many poor. Judgment is therefore rendered against that man for his supposed beneficence. For whilst he did a little corporal good, he did a great spiritual wrong, because he lowered the grade of manhood and womanhood in those that he had fed. His benevolence promoted dependence. A rich man found a place of labor for the poor, who had nothing to eat and nowhere to sleep. And he said unto them, "The Creator hath given you hands to work with. Come ye, be men and women." And they went and worked and earned their living. Judgment is rendered in favor of that man, for he raised the spiritual grade of the poor. This is a beneficence that extended into heaven. Let thy charity be to the sick and helpless, but be thou wise in directing the able-bodied to help themselves. For all charity tendeth to lower the self-respect of the receiver, and casteth him lower in the grades in heaven. Better is it for thee and for them, that thou rousest them from their degradation. Consider not so much what thou shalt do to raise thine own grade, but what thou canst do to raise the grade of those within thy reach. Remember, all men and women are thy brothers and sisters, and thou shalt labor to make them make themselves a glory unto the Creator. End of the quote from the Oashbi. The Zetas have little respect for organized religion, which is full of rules and little compassion, and especially where the Catholic Church is concerned, seeks to gain riches from the poor. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Pope Ratzinger, written April 2005. We have, throughout the life of Zeta Talk, spoken of organized religion as preaching not love and empathy and the practices that Jesus taught, but insisting on control and rules and suppression by fear, excommunication, kept from heaven, exiled from the comforts that the Church claims it can provide. Pedophilia is protected while the use of contraception in marriage is a sin. Protecting the wealth of the Church for the use of the elite within the Church is a prime concern, while demands are made on the poor to support the Church. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Oashbi speaks of this as the false Christ, the false Church, and like the Bible, states that a rich man who does not share with the poor is not heaven-bound. And I quote from the Oashbi, the Book of Judgment. And thou shalt suffer to fall in darkness such mortals as consult the angels in regards to riches, or to marriage, or to self, or for curiosity, or frivolity, or for anything of an earthly nature for profit's sake. They shall prosper for a season, but end in being confronted with folly and falsehood. And to whosoever worships God and Saviors because of miracles and signs through unclean spirits and through mortal mediums of low grade, yea, thou shalt let spirits of darkness assume to be those very gods, that mortals may be made to know what manner of evil spirits dwell in their churches and temples. And to the rich man, who maketh pretense of righteousness, but who doeth not toward the poor as to himself, give thou him a host of spirits of hypocrisy and lying, that he may realize the company he is preparing his own spirit for in heaven. For I will make man understand that he shall accept nothing from angels or men because of the name professed. on the merit only of wisdom and truth, and such good doctrines as raise up men out of darkness and poverty and crime, shall they accept either spoken or written word. And they shall try to organize to carry out good works, but they shall fail. For many will desire to be leaders, being under the influence of selfish consideration, desiring the applause of men. And they will profess freedom, but they will not pledge themselves to any sacrifice, either of money or opinion, for the sake of the public good. End of the quote from Neil Ashby. Zeta Talk has described the current time as being a time of polarization, where the spiritual orientations pull away from each other in anticipation of being in different camps, physically, in the near future. After all, those highly service to self will be taken away to their prison colonies, and those highly service to other will remain on earth or reincarnate in future, on an earth only for those in the service to other. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Increasing Dichotomy, written November 1995. Increasingly, the orientations separate of their own accord, as those in the service to other expel those who are not truly in the service to other, and those in the service to self find compliance with the desire for a rigid pecking order only among those also in the service to self. The migration toward this dichotomy will increase in pace as the transformation proceeds. At first, there is a virtual homogeneous mix of the orientations, equivalent to the grade school environment where all youngsters are enrolled. During the transformation, the service to others find each other and take up abiding with each other, to the exclusion of abiding with those who are still spiritually undecided. In fact, the spiritually undecided find the environment provided in a service to other community to be a drag, dull. No confrontations, everyone dedicated and preoccupied, just not lively enough. The service to self are generally driven from the ranks of both the service to other and the spiritually undecided as they are today. At times it takes a while for them to show their colors, but this is quite inevitable. Thus, those in the service to self find themselves banding together by necessity, and establishing the pecking order is the first order of the day. The spiritually undecided, larger in number, protect themselves from those marauding bands as they do today by keeping guard and standing firm. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The OASHBI describes the service to other community during the time after the pole shift and what types do not fit in. And I quote from the OASHBI, Book of Jehovah's Kingdom on Earth. Tay inquired once more, Who here hath faith in Jehovah, and if we labor together in his name, living our all-highest light, that his kingdom will be founded? Hundreds and hundreds said, It depends on having plenty of money and a good plantation. With money it can be accomplished, without money it cannot be. Tay said, Your faith being in money, I have no use for you. I called for those with faith in Jehovah, therefore go your ways also. Tay asked again, Who here are capable and desirous of being leaders? Let them speak. More than 1,000 cried out, Here, that's my part. I'm suited to it by nature and by experience and by great wisdom. Tay said unto them, Behold the spirit of the age in which we live. No man desireth a leader or dictator over him. For that reason, go your ways also, I have no use for you. Tay again asked, Who here have made a study of this subject, and are prepared to be lecturers and teachers and advisors? Let them speak. And behold, another 1,000 cried out, That's my strength. I can explain all subjects of diet, clothing, social intercourse, health, marriage, and worship. Others cried out, I am a trance speaker. I have angel guides 2,000 years old. Others said, I am inspirational. The ancient prophets are my spirit guides. St. John the Revealer, Confucius, Hosea, King Solomon, Daniel. Tay interrupted them, saying, Behold, the signs of the times show us that, as to founding the Father's kingdom by words, sermons, and lectures, they are worthless. See here, I have gathered together hundreds of helpless orphan babes. They care for none of the things that have been offered. They need washing and feeding, and their clothes are to wash and mend. Whoso believing in the Father, that he will give up self in all respects, and work for these little ones, having faith that Jehovah will provide, justly and sufficiently unto all, let him come. Who then is ready to join in this labor without money and without price, devoting his life to training them up to practical knowledge, not only of books, but to use their hands in trades and factories? Thus it came to pass, out of all the thousands and thousands who came, only 50 were accepted. And the others went their way, mocking, saying, "A most beautiful Father's kingdom on earth." End of the quote from the OWASHBE. In this, the OWASHBE was giving a test to determine who is willing to take action, true action, that would be service to other. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Orientation Test, written December 2002. The proof is simple. Go into a messy human situation, into poverty, disease, helping the lowest of mankind as Mother Teresa did in India, living among them. One does not have far to go for this, as misery is everywhere. If one balks, makes excuses, cannot stay for more than a moment, then you have your answer. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. For the OWASHBE, the service to other communities after the pole shift will have no need of managers, salesmen, lawyers, accountants, stockbrokers, bankers, or soldiers. But those in all other professions and trades will find a niche. And I quote from the OWASHBE, the Book of Jehovah's Kingdom on Earth. How say ye then, shall we appoint groups this day? Thereupon different persons spake, and the sum of their wisdom was that there should be a group of architects, clothiers, dietitians, engineers, manufacturers, horticulturists, agriculturists, botanists, nurses, physicians, artists, and musicians. End of the quote from the OWASHBE. And as advised in Zeta Talk, the service to self group should be left to their own devices. To quote again from the OWASHBE Book of Jehovah's Kingdom on Earth, a colony shall stand as an individual before Jehovah. A colony may thwart its own righteousness by living for itself only. The selfishness of a colony shall be, therefore, guarded against, even as the selfishness of an individual. End of the quote from the OWASHBE. Zeta Talk has likewise stated that during polarization, when those in service to other and service to self tend to migrate to live and work and associate with each other, that whole nations or regions may take on these characteristics. Certainly, political parties within the U.S. have shown this polarization. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Conservatives, written April 2004. However the political parties around the world are described, they seem to fall into categories that define the spiritual orientations, service to self or service to other. What are the characteristics of service to self? They want control over others, a clear pecking order, so that whatever status they have achieved cannot be challenged, and they want this status conserved. Since they aspire to be at the top of the pile, they want this pile conserved, not altered. And protecting the spoils of the rich is thus a precept of their philosophy. What is missing in this equation is the conservation of comfort and security for the common man, who must be sharply punished if they challenge the status quo, and especially if they rebel and are thus out of control of the conservatives seeking to maintain the status quo. The status quo disempowers the common man, who is so exhausted from trying to feed and house a family, they have scarce energy to protest, who can be threatened with being thrown out on the streets with no recourse if they protest or are reluctant to be under strict control in all aspects of their lives. What are the characteristics of the service to other? They are concerned about the well-being of the least among the populace, welfare and health benefit programs, a fair distribution of the wealth accumulated from the work the common man is invariably bound to on a daily basis, and open access to facts. They are liberal with the distribution of accumulated wealth and stand for liberty or freedom to access information and services. This pits them at odds with their counterparts, who oppose freedom while seeking to establish control over the common man and demand accumulation of wealth for the few. How will the parties align during the coming pole shift precursors, and during the shift and in the aftertime? Expect those with wealth to be shrill during devaluation, demanding taxpayer-supported protection for their assets to be priority over any assistance to the homeless. Guard against looting warehouses, bank insurance, settlements, and ignore the homeless. If unable to secure their assets during the shift, they will be shrill and aggressive in trying to take over any found in a survival community. They will claim superior abilities to lead, the right to replace lost possessions, or any other right they can assert, loudly. Expect those with concern for the common man to be at last in their element, able to place this priority as the rule, the golden rule, in their survival communities, and operating with great consensus in this mode. Those valuing assets of caring over others will be identified quickly and ejected. Thus ejected, they will band together and spend their energies making demands upon each other. Karma at last. Karma at last. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The OASHBE refers to countries controlled by politicians and how to judge their actions. I quote from the OASHBE, the Book of Judgment. Consider thy nation, and as the relative proportion of individual grades rise or fall, so shall thou determine whether thy nation is ascending or falling in grade. Number its paupers and criminals as to increase or decrease. Consider not its wealth, nor its ships, nor its armies, nor its great buildings. These altogether are of no value as to the spiritual grade of its people. End of the quote from the OASHBE. And I quote from Zeta Talk on the OASHBE, written April 1997. The OASHBE is a book read by few but with staunch devotees, as it speaks to truths mostly unspoken by man. Written at a time and in a place where Christianity was the only dogma allowed, the OASHBE could only have come from the mind of the man and by the hand of the man who wrote it. Thus it is clear to those who encounter it that it's a channeled work. The OASHBE addresses such subjects as immature spirits, spirits so poorly formed that they fail to prosper, the fluidity that incarnations can experience when there are more disincarnate spirits than bodies to accommodate them, the rapture that some spirits find in corporal pleasures, reincarnation with a mission to right wrongs done during previous incarnations, administrative oversight of developing worlds by spirits in higher planes, the approaching transformation of the earth and the interest in this among gathering spirits from many other worlds, the use of the periodic passages in what the OASHBE calls the Red Star to create change on earth, the mentoring of democracy in a world in keeping with its approaching transformation. Read with an open mind, letting what is being relayed sink in. Treat this as a garden you are walking through for the first time, and experience it fully without trying to categorize it. Much of what you will learn will be processed in your subconscious and influence your conscious mind later. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought, those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.